Well, if you've been with us over the last number of weeks, you know we've been working our way through a series of messages called Features of Discipleship. If you're new to our church, recently new, or just visiting this morning, we are doing a study of a series of messages through the summertime and into the early fall, asking the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus in discipleship? What does it look like for us to be a follower of Jesus? And I've been trying to communicate and get across the important thing that being a disciple isn't just a follower. Of course, that's the word we typically use, but also to understand it in terms of being a student, a learner, or another word we've used is an apprentice. We are being taught by Jesus what it means to walk in the ways of God. We're being taught by Him what it means to follow Him in obedience and hearing His teaching and also His saving grace. And so today we come to this particular passage, Luke chapter 8. And what I've been saying over the past number of weeks, some of you might wonder, why is there a half-deflated book, what are these things called, beach ball up here? And actually the reason why I leave this kind of deflated is because I've been saying to you that this world that we're living in is passing away. And you are passing away, and I am passing away. And we can kind of have our whole focus on life. And I'm going to try to save my life. We talked about that last week. And everything be focused on this world and not understand and not recognize that this world is passing away. And that what the message of the gospel is that the kingdom of God has come and invaded this world. It's present in this world, but there's nothing about this world, nothing in our experience, nothing in our living that can access the kingdom of God. There's nothing that you can do. And we talked about how Jesus teaches us that the only way to access the kingdom of God, the only way to get to understand the kingdom of God, the only way to be able to perceive or see the kingdom of God is if you first experience the new birth. We talked about John chapter 3 and the new birth being born of God. And so, and last week we talked a little bit about one of the principal realities of the kingdom of God. One of the properties of it is Jesus gives to us the terms of the kingdom of God. And that is that we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. But today we come to another piece of trying to understand the kingdom of God and understand one of its properties, one of its realities, and that is found here in Luke chapter 8 in this very famous parable that Jesus gives to us. I'm sure many of you are pretty familiar with it. You've probably heard many messages on it. You've probably read it many times, but maybe some of you here this morning, this is like your first time or maybe your second time coming in contact with this particular teaching. And so what I want to do this morning is to bring up this key truth. We're not going to look at everything that's in this passage. There's lots of things that are here. But this key truth, and that is simply this, that the kingdom of God, one of the properties or the realities of the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God comes by hearing. The kingdom of God comes by hearing. Therefore, take care how you hear. Now, does that jar you? Does that surprise you? Is that shocking to you that the kingdom of God comes by hearing? I suspect it doesn't, but it ought to. And that's one of the things that we want to see this morning as we think about this piece of the kingdom of God. Let's begin by a couple of questions. Have you ever had the experience where you were trying to communicate something important to someone and you knew that the other person simply was not listening? You ever had that experience? They're distracted by their phone, the TV, the whatever. They weren't listening. Have you ever had the experience where you were trying to communicate something important to someone and the other person was listening, but they weren't hearing you? You ever been there? Somehow you're communicating, but it's not penetrating. It's not getting through. And you know they're not getting it for whatever reason. You ever had the experience where you were trying to communicate something important and the other person had already made up their mind, so no matter what you said, they weren't going to go along with it. They weren't going to even think about it. They had already come to preconceived ideas and convictions and conclusions. You ever been there? You ever done any of that to anybody? You know, this is a very common human experience, isn't it? And I want to say to you this morning that we all share that experience together. We've all had it happen to us, and we've all done it to someone else. And I want you to know that we all do it to God. And that's what this story, this parable, is about. The kingdom of God comes by hearing. Therefore, take care how you hear. Now, I want to do what we often wouldn't do with this particular passage of Scripture. Normally, in this passage of Scripture, you'd go through each one of these four soils. You know, the parable is about the sower who sowed the seed, and it fell on the rock, on the hard ground, and then on the rocky ground, and then on the ground with thorns, and then on the good soil. And normally, we would go through each one of those and think about those. But this morning, I want to do something different. I want to look at three pieces that Jesus gives to us: a seed, light, and the ear. Okay, we're just going to meditate a little bit on each one of those: a seed, light, and then the ear. So let's look at those. We'll meditate a little bit on each one. And certainly this is no exhaustive treatment of these. This is to get you start to think about these things. First, the seed. I want you to see that Jesus teaches us that the nature of the kingdom of God is a seed, or as a seed. Look there in verse 10. He says to his disciples, he's speaking to them privately. First, he preached to the crowd. Now, he's speaking to the disciples in a private conversation. And he says to them the secrets of the kingdom. See, he's talking to them about the kingdom. What's it like? What is it? What's its nature? What's its properties? So the kingdom of God is in view. And then he says in verse 11, the kingdom of God. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Matthew, the way Matthew records this in Matthew chapter 13, he says, whenever anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So the very first thing that Jesus teaches us is that we're supposed to think about the kingdom in terms of a seed. Jesus says that the word of God is a seed. Now, I want to ask a very important question that we have to think about, and that is, why would Jesus choose to use a seed as a metaphor for the kingdom? Lots of things out there that Jesus could have chosen, but he specifically chooses to pick up the metaphor of a seed. And so this morning I brought, and I know you're going to be thinking, if you keep doing this, we're going to have a garage sale around here. But each week, you know, there's something more. And so I brought one of my little trusty acorn. I keep this in my office because there's so many good illustrations in this. And I want us to meditate a little bit on why does Jesus use a seed to illustrate the nature of the kingdom of God? And I want to give you five things. We'll go through these quickly. The first is that a seed is rather unimpressive, isn't it? A seed is kind of weak looking. It's not that very, it doesn't appear that significant, impressive. I mean, if you were walking along and you saw a seed, would you go, whoa, seed, did you see that seed? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that, would you? Rather, what you do is you, oh, look at that seed. You know, look how it's made, what it is, what kind of seed it is. You pick it up, you look at it, a seed is rather unimpressive. An appearance, in its appearance, kind of weak-looking. Why would Jesus use a seed to explain the nature of the kingdom? He says the seed is the word of God. Now, who or what is the seed? Jesus is the word of God, right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is the Word of God, or another way to put it is Jesus is the message from God. Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God. He is the message from God, come to this world. And the seed is the word that Jesus brings to us. How does Jesus come? Does Jesus come in power and glory and fanfare and in a great explosion? He comes how? As a seed. Weak, unimpressive, seemingly insignificant. Isaiah says he came and we didn't think he was even worth looking at. Nobody, at least initially, was ever scared of Jesus. Even at the end of his life, the political powers that be, Rome, felt no threat by him. The religious leaders, of course, did feel a threat by Jesus, but it took quite a while for them to get there. They didn't really know what to do with him at first. Is he a threat? Isn't he a threat? You see, a seed comes in an unimpressive, rather insignificant form. And Jesus is the Word of God come in seed form. The second thing is that a seed is sown in the ground. And when it goes into the ground, it germinates and begins to grow. But when you first put a seed in the ground, what happens? Nothing. For a while, it looks as if nothing is happening. Days, maybe even a week goes by, sometimes two, depending on what it is, and there doesn't appear to be anything happening. When Jesus came into the world and he brought the kingdom of God, think about that, the kingdom of God, he brought the kingdom of God, and it appeared as if nothing was happening. Now, yes, there were healings and teaching that Jesus was doing, but a big question that the people were asking was, the kingdom of God is supposed to rid the world of all of the evil and rid the world and bring judgment, and yet, where was the conquering? In fact, John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus to ask him this very question. Are you the one, or are we supposed to be looking for someone else? Because John was asking the question, I preached to the people that there was one coming after me whose sandals I wasn't worthy to untie, and that his threshing fork was in his hand, and he was going to clear the threshing floor with his winnowing fork. And John is asking the question, where's the conquering? You see, when a seed is sown, at first it appears as if nothing is taking place. Not only that, a seed, when it is sown, changes into something else. You ever thought about that? This seed is an acorn seed. But when it produces its life, does it pop out of the ground a whole bunch more acorns, like popcorn? Is that what comes out of the ground? No. The life that's in it, it changes its form into something else, and it produces a tree. You ever thought about that? Jesus came, and when his life was sown, what did he change into? It's called the what? The resurrection. You see, his life, it was still him. The seed, when it's sown in the ground, it's still itself, isn't it? But it's something else. And Jesus, when his life was sown in the ground, it changed. It was still him. They knew it was Jesus. But he was different. He was resurrected. He had a new kind of body, a new kind of existence. So not only is a seed that is sown in the ground changes its form, but also a seed transforms not by external power, but by internal power, internal realities. You ever thought about that? What is stronger, a seed or a wrecking ball? You see, a wrecking ball collapses against a building and explodes the building. You know, a wrecking ball comes through and just conquers everything in its path. But a seed has a power that's internal. You ever seen a seed grow in a place you're like, how in the heck did that tree grow there? We were traveling on a road down to in the Florida Keys and looked across, and there is a causeway that was an old causeway. It's dilapidated now. And in the middle of that causeway, on concrete, is a pine tree that's as tall as this building right here. And you go, how in the world did that pine tree grow there? See, a seed has power to transform by internal reality, not external. Now, when Jesus comes into the world, how does he conquer? Does he conquer by wrecking ball? Just clear everything out, blow everything up in his path? Or does he come into your life and change by the inside? You see, the kingdom of God is like the word of God is a seed. Lastly, when a seed is sown in the ground, does it stay a single seed? No, it multiplies, doesn't it? It multiplies. And when Jesus came into the world, in fact, in one place in John chapter 10 or 11, I think it is, John chapter 12, he says, unless a grain of sand fall into the ground, a grain of wheat fall into the ground and germinate, it remains alone. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it produces a harvest. When Jesus was sown, his life was sown through the cross into death and came out on the other side in resurrection, did he remain alone? Oh, friends, can you see the church of Jesus Christ spread across this globe? His life has multiplied a million times over. Billions and billions of people throughout the generations on every continent have come to faith. Why? Because his life multiplied. So, first, Jesus wants us to grasp that the kingdom of God is a seed. It's very important. Let's move on. The nature of the kingdom as light. Now, look down there in verse 18. We're jumping down to verse 18, and what does he say? No one after lighting, okay, again, he's speaking to his disciples in his private conversation. He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to one to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now, what is Jesus saying to us here? Some places in the New Testament, when light is used, it's speaking about God. God is light. Sometimes when light is used, it's speaking about Jesus or Jesus' teaching. And sometimes when light is used, it's talking about Jesus' followers. In Matthew chapter 5, what does Jesus say? You are the light of the world, talking to his disciples. Now, which of those three is it here? And I want to suggest to you, after thinking a lot about this and wrestling and reading, I'm convinced that what Jesus is speaking to us about here is that he is speaking about himself and his teaching. Let me show you why I've come to that conclusion. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but instead puts it on its stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, if you take a flashlight or any light, and when you're using a light, do you turn it on and set it on a lamp stand like on your table like that? Is that useful? Is that helpful? No, you don't do it like that, do you? Rather, you use the light the way it was designed to give light. So the very first thing is the light has a purpose to it. And you don't violate the purpose. The light's purpose is that it would be put on the stand. And when it's put on its stand and it's used, what happens to the darkness? You go into a dark room and you use the light and you put it on its stand. What happens to the darkness? It flees, right? The darkness flees. The light causes the darkness to run away. And not only does that happen, but when you put light on its stand, not only does the darkness flee, but then you are enabled to see. So it gives light to everyone who enters. Now, what is Jesus trying to get across to us is simply this. Jesus and his teaching are the light. And even though he has come in seed form, even though his teaching is seed-like and all those things that we talked about, nevertheless, his light and his teaching, or excuse me, his life and his teaching are shining light into the darkness, so that those who see may enter. You see, everyone, even though he's come in this seed form, everyone who sees his work and listens to his teaching are seeing the light of the kingdom. It's present, it's visible, it's accessible. And his teaching is dispelling the darkness. It's causing the darkness to flee. When John the Baptist asked the question to Jesus and sent his disciples there, and they said to him, "Are you the one? Are we supposed to be looking for another?" What does Jesus say? How does he respond to them? At first, he doesn't say anything. But immediately, he goes and he heals all kinds of people. And then he says to John's disciples, "Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The mute are able to speak. The lame are able to walk. And the poor have the gospel preached to them." Do you see what Jesus is saying? The kingdom of God is like a seed. It's come in seed form. The word of God is a seed. But nevertheless, it's visible. It's present. It's able to be it's accessible to us. Which brings me to the final point this morning, the necessity of hearing. If it's true, and it is, that the kingdom of God comes by hearing, are you beginning to get a sense of why that is so jarring and so surprising and so otherworldly? Every other earthly kingdom comes by what? Every earthly kingdom that you know about comes by what? Power. Every other earthly kingdom is a wrecking ball. Every earthly kingdom you know, just think through the earthly kingdoms. How do they come into the world? Alexander the Great, the Pharaohs, the Romans in the Middle Ages, the Ottoman Empire. Pick your empire. How does it come? It comes conquering by power. Do you ever have any Do you ever have any fear or understanding if you're in it or out of it? You see, the kingdom of God comes, or excuse me, the kingdoms on this earth come by power. You know if you're in it or you're outside of it. You either submit to it or it kills you. Every kingdom on this earth comes by power, but the kingdom of heaven comes by what? By hearing. Why? What's the difference? The difference is simply this. The kingdom of God is a word to you. It is a message to you. And because it is a message, because it is a word, hearing is absolutely critical. Because if you do not hear, if you do not understand, it will pass you by. You see, the kingdom of heaven is news that has hit the newsstand. Have you ever contrasted in your own mind the nature of the kingdoms of this world? They're like a wrecking ball. But the nature of the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's a message. And because it's a message, you have to decide, do I believe it or don't I believe it? You have to gain access to it. You have to understand it. Someone has said that listening is the primary skill of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying to us, all other kingdoms in this earth will pass away. They're all wrecking balls. But my message, my kingdom is different. It's very easy to miss. It's very easy to reject. It's very easy to mix in with your agenda. You have to think about it. You have to reflect on it. You have to consider it. You have to slow down and listen and hear. Amen. You have to think about what you're hearing. And let me just go a little further and press this even harder upon us. If you think that you have understood the message of the kingdom of God, if you think that I've got it, I understand it, I've got it, it makes all sense, I'm there, you haven't gotten it at all. Listen to me. Churches are filled with people who think that they are in the kingdom and they're not. Filled with people who are saying, I've heard you, and Jesus is saying, you haven't heard me at all. Notice how many times Jesus talks about hearing in this passage. Verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 12, those along the path are those who have heard. Verse 13, they hear the word. Verse 14, those who hear. Verse 50, those who hearing the word. And then verse 18, take care then how you hear. What does hearing require of us? In a world that's as frenetic and fast-paced as our world, hearing requires slowing down, listening, thinking, understanding, talking it out with other people, considering its implications, not letting any distractions, no preconceived ideas or commitments, no made-up minds before you've actually heard what it's about. Oh, brothers and sisters, friends, there are so many people who have rejected the message of the kingdom of God, and they don't even know what they're rejecting. As I close this morning, I want to just point you briefly that this parable of the seed of the sower or the seed sown is really a parable on four ways that people hear. We'll just go through them very briefly. Or you might even say four tests to our hearing. The first one is the one who hears with a hard heart, Jesus says. The seed falls on the path, it's hard. And they reject it outright. They already have made up their mind. They haven't heard. They might have heard the message, but it's all intellectual. It's all in the head. There's been no power of God that has penetrated through their minds into realizing, this is something for me. They may have heard something of the truth, but has no bearing on them. To them, Jesus is a concept, an idea, a set of maxims. Maybe they can even give you all the right answers, but it hasn't penetrated. Jesus is maybe a teacher, but not a savior. The second is those who have heard with a not a hard heart, but a shallow heart. The word gets in, they receive it with joy, but it's all emotions. It's all emotional. It's a message that they like, but Jesus says when life gets tough, they're out of there. See, when it costs something to be a Christian, they flee, they run. In many ways, they only believe the word about Jesus so long as it works for them. They're the kind of people who want to bring, not come into Jesus' kingdom, they want to bring Jesus into their kingdom. In a lot of ways, it's a cost-benefit analysis. When the costs are higher than the benefits, they're gone. And the real gods are the things that they're losing. Hard heart, shallow heart. The third is one who hears with a divided heart. You see, the word is gets in, it's there, but there's no fruit. Why? Because divided loyalties. Jesus says the cares and riches and concerns of this world choke the word so that it bears no fruit. See, these are people that are trying to serve God and money or and something else. In a lot of ways, this is the most dangerous group to be in. Do you know why? Because there's just enough of God to in there to make you think that you're okay, but you don't realize that you're dying a slow death. And then, of course, not only a hard heart and a shallow heart and a divided heart, but then lastly, the fourth group is those who hear the word. And you know, I noticed something I've never seen before this week, and that is that in every part of this story, Jesus speaks in the past tense. Hard heart, shallow heart, divided heart, they all heard the word. But when he speaks about the ones who respond, he says, as for the good soil, those are those who, what? Hearing. Present tense, present reality. You know what he's saying? You know what he's getting at? He's saying they're the people who hold on to it. They're thinking it out. They're wrestling with it. They're working it. They're trying to understand. They're trying to grasp it. They're allowing the seed to penetrate down into their heart and into their life. Present active. And because they do that, they bear fruit. And he adds the little phrase, with patience. As I close, how do you know when you're really listening? How do you know when you're really listening? Verse 18 gives us the clue. Excuse me, verse 19, 18, sorry. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. How do you know when you're really listening? And the answer is when you're acting on it. See, Jesus says, to the one who has, more will be given. Translation, to the one who has heard and acts, God adds more understanding. God gives more insight. God gives more blessing because you have taken his word by faith and taken a step in obedience towards him. You're not there. You're learning. You're an apprentice. To the one who has, more will be given. And if you don't, if you're wondering, are you sure that about that? Look up at verse 21. Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who what? Hear the word of God and do it. Jesus is teaching us this principle. If you hear the word, you know you're listening when you act upon that word. And when you act upon that word, God gives more understanding. And when you act upon that word, God gives you more understanding. You see, the word of God is a seed. The word of God is light. And when you act upon those understandings and you hear and are listening, God grants more understanding, more insight. How are you doing at hearing? How are you doing at listening? The word of God is a seed. The word of God is light. Take care then how you hear. How are you doing? How am I doing? Are you hearing? Are you listening? Are you trying to understand? Are you gaining insight? When you receive an understanding, do you take it and act upon it so that God might grant even more insight? Or is it all intellectual? Is it all emotional? Already preconceived ideas? Is it a divided kind of heart? Kingdom of God comes by hearing. Take care how you hear. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Jesus, how you want us to understand, how you want us to grasp, how you want us to receive, how you want us to take hold, how you want us to experience the life that you have provided. You didn't come into the world to conquer it, not to conquer individual lives. You came into the world to conquer sin and death. The sin and death that's inside of us, that's what you wanted to conquer. And you conquered it by laying your life down on the cross. And then, having conquered sin and death, you offer your life to us so that if we are willing to receive you as the Word of God, the very seed of God, you will come in, begin to change us powerfully. You begin to make us new. You transform us. All those realities, Lord, become present in us. Lord, I think this morning there is probably someone in this room who's never trusted you, never understood, never taken hold. Lord, this morning I pray that they would hear, begin to think, begin to consider, begin to pursue. Take a small step towards you. And Jesus, I pray that you would respond to them by giving them more. And Lord, for some of us who've walked with you for some time, oh Lord, would you help us never to think we understand it all, we've got it figured out. But rather, Lord, might we be hearing, thinking out the realities, challenging one another, talking about them together, so that we might walk in the light of life. Help us, Lord, we pray. Thank you that you are tender, patient. Help us, Lord, to persevere, and that the seed of God might fall into good soil and produce a harvest. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.